And what is going on, everybody out there? All of you beauts and beauties. It is episode number 158 of Hat Trick Hockey, which is always brought to you by our good friends over at GL Heritage, the official beer of Hat Trick Hockey. And here, as always, with my buddy Tristan.
Yep.
In studio today. Yes, How does it feel?
Feels pretty good. I'm happy to be chilling here on a wonderful, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So get to discuss some hockey, go into
for sure
a few different topics today. As you can see, we got a lovely display on the screen for our viewers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this can be something that we continue going forward.
Yeah, I kind of like the face-to-face interaction too.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just sitting here staring at a screen.
Right. It was a little bit impromptu, but this is when you learn, right?
Exactly.
Just like the war fueled the growth of weapons.
Yes.
Stuff at home fuels me and Anthony's growth.
For sure.
It's nothing bad, everyone. My mom just wanted to sleep, so it's understandable.
Yeah.
Let's jump into it. What do you want to bring up? Well, topic one.
Should we just go? Let's just go right into it. We'll recap.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall we say the 73s and the Blenheim Blades?
Sounds good.
It was like, let's, like last series, it was, to me, it was all 73s from game one.
Yeah.
Another sweep. Just everything again, firing on. I feel, get into some penalty trouble.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, there was, especially games one and the ones at home.
Yeah.
We did lack discipline.
That's going to have to be addressed.
100%.
Right, especially going into this next series.
Well, we know Lakeshore, they poke the bear. Oftentimes they'll run the other way.
Oh.
And that... Jeez. I'm not getting too... we've seen it. Like, for example, certain players on Lakeshore, they'll go after Kale Kuvion because they know he's aggressive. And then Kuvs all of a sudden says, all right, you want to play that way? Let's play that way. Well, all of a sudden, they look at Kuvion like, oh, you're crazy, man. And then the ref comes to the rescue. I'm not saying guys on Essex don't do that. Sure, we got antagonists of our own.
It's the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know what? You're going to do whatever you can to win. I respect that, but let's play some good hockey here. I hope the referees let both teams play, and I just want to see a finals where the right team wins for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that in the past. That never happened. Essex got worked last year in five games.
Like, for sure.
There was we run into injuries every year, it seems, but... Yeah, but no excuses now.
No, both teams are pretty fresh because both teams are coming off of four-game sweeps in each series. So
They got a week-long rest.
Yes, both teams have went the shortest route, and they're both on a week's rest. So.
I was looking into it, and I think it was over 20 years ago. I could be wrong, but over 20 years ago back then it was the Great Lakes Central Hockey League or Junior C Hockey League, something like that. And now it's obviously Provincial Junior Hockey League. It was like... 2004 or something, that the last time two teams in the semis in our division swept.
No way.
To make it to the finals, yeah. So it's been a lot closer.
Where'd you find that stat?
I was just looking back through each year, but a couple of them aren't very clear.
Oh, okay.
So between 2006 to 2010, it's a bit of a gray area there. It didn't really tell me who went where. I could just see the amount of games played.
Mm-hmm.
So it very well could have happened in those years, but... Last I could see, it was Essex and I believe it was Dresden who had swept.
Wow.
And then Essex proceeded to beat them in five.
Wow.
So I'd love if that happens here, but I don't think we're heading into that. I expect both teams to be very much every game.
It's going to be a knockdown, drag them out series.
Yeah, and... You can already guarantee a couple overtimes.
You want to know what I love?
What?
Is all the buzz on the internet already about it. Everybody's talking about this series.
Shout out to one of our loyal listeners and someone who does a lot for this league in general and the eyes that get put on it, Gary Baker.
Yeah, for sure.
As well as his partner, I believe his name is Mike Shields.
Yes.
Who works alongside him on the unofficial site of the PGHL, Facebook.
Yes.
Check
that out, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. Check it out. And yeah, all eyes on this series. Two teams ranked 1 and 3. Essex was ranked 1 for most of the year, but Lakeshore since overpassed them.
Okay.
That was because of that 1 week rough stretch.
Wasn't it like 1 point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Separating. And Essex was tied for 2nd with points, but it came down to regulation wins.
Okay.
Well, and whatever. The team above had more, which was the Alliston Hornets.
Okay.
Shout out to the Alliston Hornets. They also won a game, I think, 22-4.
That's fucking insane.
Over the Midland Flyers.
22-4.
So, Alliston, I'm not quite so sure how they're doing, but I'm sure
22-4.
They were one of the teams that some divisions only have 7 as opposed to 8, so they get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have 9.
If you're our division, so. Who are you starting game 1 in that?
4.
Essex, who are you starting?
Well, it's got to be Wyatt Slochus.
Okay.
I would be comfortable with anybody in net. Kevin McCabe's been out, obviously, with injury for a bit now. He also has 4 wins against Lakeshore this year.
Wow.
Every game. There was one game, one of the games we lost to them 7-5. I think Kevin... Yeah, Kevin started... I think he went out because of injury.
Oh, okay.
He let in 3 goals, went out with injury or something. And then McBride let in the rest, but we almost came back. I remember the last, it was like 7-2. And I think Essex scored the next 3.
Wow. Still though.
So, but we ran out of, you can't dig a hole like that.
No.
Especially against a team like Lakeshore. And just, who do I start? Yeah, it's Wyatt Slochus. If he falters, which... Fingers crossed he doesn't, and I'm confident that he won't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kind of a funny balance here that Essex has to look at, because you look in the series against Blenheim, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we swept them, but in a couple of those games, Slochus didn't have to face many shots, and those were the games where he let in some, we won't say stinkers, but some that he probably should have had.
Well, the one there was, I think, 1 or 2 of them. There was defense.
Yeah,
laps.
You know what? To be honest, I can only think of 2 goals in the top. One of them was a Matt Hayter scored
right
top
in front of
the circle
of the net by himself.
No, that was Goulet. I'm talking about Slochus. Probably should have saved him.
Oh, okay.
The one where it was a wrap.
Yeah, he didn't.
Was,
I don't think he even knew where
that
it was on
that
one.
Everett Swayze scored that. And then the opposite one was Matt Hayter at the far end of the ice. Clean one-on-one shot, and he went under the blocker. And it was kind of like, man, outside the top of the circle, mm-hmm. one-on-one, probably should have that one. But he also has a .945 save percentage. Can't go wrong there. No. Wyatt, if he's watching this, I'm not throwing shade at the 2 goals that were stinkers that you let in across 4 games. But my point is, with a goalie, you want him to almost kind of face more shots early.
Yeah, of course.
Get him into the game. So
yeah,
he's
into a groove.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Goalies, it's a part of their mindset, right? And they can give a lot of confidence to themselves if they get that big save early, right?
We block a shitload of shots, too.
Oh, though. We do. Especially in the final frame. It seems like Tony Prosky says, all right, just go out
there. If you're there, you better block it.
Exactly. And Connor Dubinsky had a big block in the last game. 3 at home.
Who else? There was 2 of them.
McKibben.
I was going to say there was 2 back-to-back.
McKibben was
It was like right at the
clutch.
End of the game.
He was throwing hits all series long.
Oh, yeah. He's always been doing it all
and
season.
And Blenheim, it was just Essex was shut them right down. It was, we did a good job, I will say this, even though we were undisciplined. The penalty kill was terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific.
For sure. But like I said, it's not something that we want to get into.
No. Well, we've got guys, like, I trust our penalty kill, even though Lakeshore, they have a very solid power play unit. That's one of their claims to fame.
Now, they usually go 4-1, right?
Yeah. They usually put out, well, they got 2 solid units. Because you have to figure, if you look at Lakeshore's top 6, because Trevor Leroux is expected to be back. So you've got Eric Bisson, Trevor Leroux, Marco Schlodoya. Then you've got
Jesus.
Zach Valancourt, Kyle Walker, he's deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Walker is deadly. And who's the other one on that line? Oh, Julian Gignac, their 16-year-old. Yeah. I believe it was between him or Bello to get claimed to Essex for 16. Okay. Essex went Bello, Lakeshore went Gignac. Gignac, incredible goal scorer for them. Mm-hmm. He had over 30 goals, and he's a rookie.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then you got your third line. You've even got, you got guys like Aiden Sullivan and Bryce Scarlett and Brendan LeBlanc. So they got a good top nine. Decor is where I think Essex takes the advantage. Like Martineau, Balmer, McKibben, Bello, Pashuta, Milicevic. Throw in a guy in there like Shane DePelsmaker, mm-hmm. 3-year captain at Dresden. He's a, as there's a viable option. You've got AP options like Ryan Baziel, Teo Trifon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're set. And goaltending.
I would like to see Trife.
I would love to see Trifon as well. Games. He's I'm not sure if Lakeshore would like to see that, but I'm sure.
I just like him because he's very physical.
Yeah, well, he plays Western football.
But so. I like hitting though. I like to hit.
Well, guess what?
When I played hockey, I was a hitter. That's I would like to hit.
Essex, so. Every game that we took them, it was a physical advantage. Mm-hmm. Definitive. We'll see if Lakeshore counters that, because I'm sure Coach Iaquinta has them.
Oh, for sure.
He's working hard. And
he's
this
no dummy either. So.
No. You know, he's very bright. Yeah, for and sure. They've got two stellar goaltenders back stopping them. Like, that makes up for maybe a bit of the decor not being quite where it was in past years.
This is fucking like
Nick Bolton and Bo Porosky. Man.
Everywhere is like every aspect of these teams that you look at, it's like everything is 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. So it's like
exactly. I would argue across the league. I've watched a few games played this year from other divisions. Mm-hmm. The hockey's a lot different.
Yeah.
Essex and Lakeshore, this is the premier matchup in the league. Lakeshore also took care of Wheatley in four, and it was a beatdown the last game, 7-3. Like, or was it 7-1?
So I don't know. Whatever it was, I know Wheatley was no joke all season.
No, so. And obviously Wheatley was missing their captain, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. give credit where credit is due. Lakeshore, no slouch. They came back all season long. Mm-hmm. Essex, they had a record of through their first seven games. They were 4-3.
I know.
And then they came back.
Bam. But
that's when they ripped 23 straight wins.
Does it really surprise you?
No.
That's what
No. Like, it was, well, they had suffered, in those first seven games, they lost to us twice and Wheatley.
Yeah.
But and then the only team that would go on to beat them the rest of the season was Essex twice.
Yeah. But it was funny, though, because everybody's like, oh, Lakeshore is only 4-3. I'm like, yeah, just watch. And then it was just boom, right? It's like, see, like you, you could never doubt, like.
No. No,
they're actually
too good.
Freaking count them out.
They are stacked top to bottom.
Yeah, they're good.
I was talking with this about.
This is what we want, though. We want series like this.
I was talking about this with my dad. Like, if you look at the line-to-line matchups, it is so close.
That's what I mean.
Like, who would you say is better? First line, better second line? The only area I think they beat us on the ice, and this is Essex, we'll see how they line up and how their forward core is deployed, but their third line.
Mm-hmm.
They got Scarlett and LeBlanc and Sullivan out there.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
We'll just flip line like combos.
Well,
too. Like,
we've been known to do our top sixes.
No, I know, but I mean,
we've got
Coach P's been known to like flip the lines around a little bit.
And so, well, here's the thing: our first line, we got Liam Hall, Gabriel Piccolo, and Kiel Kuvion. Yeah, two guys who just won a Sutherland Cup.
Yeah.
Second line, we've got Carson Bugley, Nate Dowling, and Luke Shirk, who, by the way, everybody, Nate Dowling.
Yeah.
I'll pull up his stats here. And as I was saying, Nate Dowling, 8 games played, 13 assists.
Excuse me.
13 points, 7 goals, 6 assists. Game-winning goals, three.
Seven all goals, in this six series. Assists, and three of his seven goals are game winners.
All in this series. How's that?
Well, it's a good time to get hot.
You know what, Nate? Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
I hope he flattens Lakeshore.
Well,
like, guess what? Oh, yeah. You know we got on our third line? How about Jaden Sagan? The guy ripped one top shelf on you in your own barn. We'll see.
It's going to be interesting.
Oh, man. This is what I live for. And I hope one of these games, I hope I get to do the play-by-play. Because Brendan, he's getting into it too. He's got the passion, but oh man, it's going to be hard to watch that puck go in and not scream. Like,
yeah, last game you guys had, he was like, his volumes were up and down too. So I'm like, all right, Jonesy, all right, we're getting into it now.
Well, even like Nate Dowling, so clutch. Remember, it was 0-0. Then Blenheim scored again. They led again in our own barn. And who else ties it? Nate Dowling. And then guess who scored again? Nate Dowling.
I know.
Like, he's crazy.
Should anyway, bet him.
Everyone's
calling Vegas.
Let's fill the barns for that. We're going to set records this year.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see 1,500 people both, for at least one game.
Both barns will be full.
Yeah. Oh, this is the premier series.
I want to say the last time they played in Lakeshore, there was like over 1,100.
I think it was 1,189, something along those lines.
And by the way, to the league, thank you for fixing the camera in Lakeshore.
They did.
It is up higher now. So they had fans there and everything. So last time, I was just like, what the hell is this? So yeah, what had happened was the last time Essex was there, I was at home with the kids, and I was still doing socials. I still watch the game and do socials and shit like that. So, but I was watching, it was like the back of their like camera guy, and I knew how many beers the guy in the red hat had, but I couldn't really see what was going on the ice. So then I wrote it to them on their Facebook page, I believe. I just said, like, we're charging $30 a month here, and I'm watching everybody in the stands.
Yeah.
More than I am the game. I'm like, that camera needs to be higher. And then, like, the next game I watched Lakeshore play a game against Wheatley there in the playoffs.
Yep.
And the camera guy was in the same spot where he normally stands, but the camera is way above him. So I was like, oh, thank you. So now, like, I see the whole ice.
I believe that.
It's perfect.
Camera guy you reference.
Thank you.
He's been on the show. Pretty sure it's Eric LaRue. I think he's helping out with the video and coaching staff.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, he won with them, obviously,
So it was his back I was looking at.
Yeah, Eric, brother of Trevor, who is now assistant captain, won the Sutherland Cup last year, won the Schmaltz before that.
Yeah.
He's got some hardware.
Yeah, he's won a little bit.
But let's move on. We got a discussion to talk about elsewhere in the PJHL.
Oh, my gosh. So this is between Stayner
Siskins versus the Orillia Terriers.
Okay, so can you explain the whole situation to everybody?
Okay, so these two teams are, I forget the division they're from, but they're both up near Orillia, which is, it's basically Essex Lakeshore, like the distance between the two. So there's a rivalry.
Okay.
And it's on Lake Simcoe. So just around Barrie.
Yeah.
So these two teams played. Series was 2-0 for Stayner.
Okay.
They go into game three. Game three happens. Orillia scored in overtime. Series would have been 2-1. Play ended up being blown down, claiming the net had been off its moorings.
Oh, boy.
I believe that's what it was.
Oh, boy.
The puck crossed the goal line, and the net had never left its moorings. It was pushed off afterward. The referee just looked at it and was like, oh. This leads to no goal. Stayner goes down, scores. Oh. Series is all of a sudden 3-0 now.
Oh, boy.
Yikes. Yeah. And it was all over Facebook, saying, no, this needs to review this. League ends up going, renouncing the win, which it's the referee's discretion in the first place. There should have been a, right?
Yeah.
No goal call. You don't have the liberty to say that if you couldn't definitively see the play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goal.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there's something along those lines. There's a stipulation. Didn't have the rule book with him.
Oh, no.
So now the league, they just played game four.
Yes.
Stayner won. So that would have been a sweep. But because there was an aroused win, anyone remembers last year, the whole fiasco between Essex and Moortown, this is just as messy, if not more. So what's going to happen now is tomorrow night, they're going to replay not the whole game, but a decision maker for the result of game three. So the series is now 3-0 with games 1, 2, and 4 going to Stainer.
Mm-hmm.
Game three is being replayed. They're going to play.
There's a penalty shot.
That is how they will start. Both teams line up on the benches, penalty shot, both goaltenders in. Aurelia can send whatever player they want from center ice in on the standard goaltender. Standard goaltender, I think he's going to get a warm-up, I assume, right?
I would think
so. There's got to be. You can't just cold stand there for a shot.
Wing. I would think they might just do like a normal warm-up, and then because if the shot is missed.
Right. If Aurelia scores, automatic win. Series is now 3-1 for Stainer. Aurelia gets that win back. If they don't score, it becomes an automatic ensuing sudden death period. I believe one, it will extend if more, obviously, because it's sudden death, first goal wins it. This means that if Stainer wins, it will be a rare game three series win.
Yeah. So to get everybody to get this straight, so they're going to go from game three to game four, back to game three to possibly play a game five.
Yep.
Is pretty much what you're saying. Like that, in a nutshell.
Right? I was made aware of it today that apparently the same thing happened a few years ago between Essex and another team.
No way.
Yes. Same thing happened.
How do you find all this stuff?
Well, here, I'll pull it up. Give me a moment. So you just discuss your thoughts on it.
No, I think it's the most insane thing I've ever seen, but
I
kind of give the league credit for kind of like
trying to solve it.
Yeah, and making the right call. Like, I'd hate to see a team lose a game, especially a playoff game, on a call that was the wrong call.
Right. So it was Craig Miller, who I was discussing this with on Facebook, and he says the exact same thing occurred in the Schmaltz Cup final.
No way.
In 2013 or 14, he's not quite sure. It was Essex versus Picton.
Was that the penalty?
Replayed the third period of game three after game four was complete. Then they played game five right after. So it was the third period, not
an overtime.
An overtime, but it was a result that was changed in the dying seconds of the third. So they felt the whole need to replay the third. Which at that point, why not replay the game? Because that is what happened between Essex and Moortown last year.
Okay,
right? Yeah. They replayed the whole game. Nope, they didn't replay the game. It was a win for Moortown.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Why is it not a win for Aurelia? That the puck crossed the line.
Yeah.
That's more evident of a win than losing, and then it's a turnover win.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to be critical of the league that obviously we are supportive of and does so much for us, but try to have some continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year, it's a win for Moortown. And because that game technically never happened, Brody Janine's penalty never happened. The guy who got a 5-game suspension for ragdolling a referee. You know what? I'm just going to leave that be.
That was last year.
Yep. Yeah. It's all done. Guess what? Moortown's gone again. Mm. Poor. I feel bad for John. Guy always plays his heart out. Johnny Chartrand. And yeah, their team folded. And then Wheatley folded immediately after. It was just Lakeshore walking over everybody. But we'll see how that Stainer outcome. I'm assuming it's going to be televised tomorrow. PGHL.
I'll be watching it.
8:30 is what the start time is set for. I'm going to be at a Wings game.
I'm going to watch it.
Right on. Get to go to the Wings versus Islanders tomorrow night, which will tie right into our next discussion. Wild card race. Yes. The three teams you see on the board there, New York Islanders, Washington Capitals, and the Detroit Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
It's razor thin right now between all those three teams. There are a couple teams as well. I'll pull it up here. Vying for that final second wild card spot. Tampa's pretty much locked in the first one. They'd have to go on a monumental losing streak. In fact, Toronto could get passed by Tampa.
Wow.
So it's really close between the teams. So I'll bring it up here. So the wild card race is as follows. So first card of the wild card is Tampa, who's got 80 points in 68 games played. Detroit is currently sitting in spot number two under a stipulation because they have more games played than the team below them. So they have 69 games played, 76 points. Right below them is Washington, who I believe is losing right now to the Leafs, which is good for us, the Red Wings. 67 games played, 75 points. So 1 point back with two games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. And then behind them, back now by 3 points on the Wings, but they have a game in hand. So if they win two and the Wings drop one with no points, they jump them, which I hope doesn't happen. This is why tomorrow's night's game is so important. Red Wings versus Islanders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Like, if there's one team that I think deserves, and this is going to sound so biased, but if you look at these teams' records and the games they've played, well, Washington just lost 8-3 to the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Not even 2 weeks ago. This is before they lost Larkin. Mind you, Larkin has a huge psychological thing to this team, obviously.
Yeah, it's been horrible.
Because we're 2-8 in our past 10.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Two wins in our past three, though. So if that tells you something about our record currently. Islanders, they don't even have 30 wins yet. They're at 29 wins, and it's because they have 15 overtime losses. See, here's my problem.
15 overtime losses.
You need to change this point system because it is not effective. If it will be a travesty if the Islanders lose 20 games in overtime and they pass with the Wings, but the Wings have like five more wins.
What do you do? Do you go like 3 points for a regulation win?
That is what the PWHL has done. The Women's League.
Yeah.
That just came into play. 3 wins, 3 points for a reg win, 2 points for an OT win or shootout win, and 1 point for the loss.
To me, if you lose, you shouldn't get anything. Or you just keep the point structure the same, and if you lose, you don't get anything. You play the overtime for the extra point. No, but you see, you would still have to. Or you just play it just straight up versus two, or like 2 points. If whether you don't, doesn't matter how you win. Regulation, shootout, overtime. A win is a win, 2 points. Other team, you get nothing.
That would really change the scope of things.
Then you get nothing for a loss.
Because teams would play a lot harder near the end of regulation.
You get nothing for an overtime loss. You get nothing for a shootout loss.
I wouldn't even. Then I'd just take out the shootouts.
Okay, then wipe them out. But then you would have to figure out a way for tiebreakers, though. Do you extend overtime with the 3-on-3? Do you go to a 10-minute overtime, a 3-on-3?
I would just do continuous 3-on-3 for, like, 5-minute increments.
Five-minute intervals
or whatever. Let's be honest. Someone's going to score eventually. Yeah. This isn't peewee. These guys are skilled hockey players. Very seldom, I'm going to say, of the games that go to extra frames, well over 70% are won in overtime versus the shootout.
You really want to make it entertaining?
What's that? Oh, do the what they do in minor hockey? Or 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 1-on-1? Start at
5-on-5, go to 4-on-4, go to 3-on-3, 2-on-2. Be more entertaining than the shootout.
Well, I'll tell you this. 1-on-1, a lot of teams would probably lose. Imagine if it was Edmonton.
Oh,
well, let's go out against Connor McDavid and get cooked, just make it on Sportsnet.
Just trip him and hopefully he misses on a penalty shot. Like, what else could you do? It's pretty much if he has you one-on-one anyways, he's going to be pretty much on a penalty shot anyways. Yeah, so you might, might as well trip him. But yeah, that'd be a cool aspect of it. But yeah, still. But back to our point here.
Wild card system. Yeah, it's really tight.
Do you like the wild card thing, or would you rather it just be 1-8? Or do you like
for the conference?
Yeah, like, do you like this wild card stuff?
Well,
I mean, just in general.
If I pull up the conference, 1-8 right now is the exact same.
So then why are we fucking doing this?
And then
it just makes it more confusing.
West, it is the exact same as well. So effectively, the only way you have that happen is, it's happened in the Metro, where a team squeaks in the division but doesn't make the wild card because the division's worse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if only three teams made it from the Metro, but, well, that could happen. Like, in theory, the Flyers, who are the best right now in that third place spot, Flyers could finish with less points than the Wings, who get that final wild card spot. So that would then not be 1 through 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be 1 through whatever, if an Atlantic team. So you would have to have the sixth place Atlantic team finish with more points than the third place Metro, or vice versa. Which is possible if the Buffalo gets on their horse, but...
So it's easier to just be do a straight-up conference 1 through 8.
Probably. They used to do that, I believe,
back
right?
Back in the day, yeah. And that's was, how, I, and that's was how never, I grew up with it.
And it was never divisional, either. Yeah. It was 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7.
Yeah.
Are they back to that now? Why do I feel like it was like that last year?
I think it was.
Right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the Wings currently right now, who will we play? Boston.
Oh.
Mind you, they have more games played. It'll probably be Florida by the end of it. We would get thumped.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd
be nice to just get in, though.
Yeah, well, we're limping in. We don't have a goalie. Alex Lyon's playing horrible. Optimus Rhyme. It's been terrific. James Reimer? He's starting again tomorrow night.
Is he?
Ride the hot hand.
Trying to think who played when I was there against the Lightning. I think it was Lyon.
He was good.
But that's when they were like, time. But when we were there for E's thing there, they were like red hot. That was like in the middle of
when
there.
January when they were riding. But
there was no Showtime.
How long ago was this?
Showtime didn't play. January 21st was
That was when he was hurt for that short while.
Yeah.
Patty.
No show.
Overtime winner last night.
Squeaked it through.
We barely came away with that win.
I don't care. I'll take it.
You know who needs the A in a blank check immediately? Lucas Raymond.
Yeah, I know.
2 goals.
He'll be scored with, what, 14 and a half seconds left or 12. Something? Yeah, 12. I knew there wasn't.
I was watching that game freaking out. Like,
I knew there wasn't much. I was watching it upstairs here.
Lucas Raymond. Different breed. Superstar.
Well, they're going to sign him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's an RFA. Like,
and you give him a max deal.
Yeah, and same with they got to sign both Sider and Raymond.
Okay, but what do you give them? You got to say, like, listen, boys, like, if you guys take, like...
8x7, 8x8.5. So the larger contract going to Mo.
Okay, so I would say Sider too, right? So
or give them matching deals. Maybe Sider drops down to 8, maybe Raymond wants more. Who knows?
I was going
to
say, Chicklets was saying something about getting Raymond signed, but one of them getting a bridge deal.
I think Raymond would get the bridge deal. Sider with the D-man like that, his value is only going to increase. Right shot, franchise defenseman, you sign him long term. Yeah.
He's essentially like our modern day like Lidstrom kind of, right? With a little more physical, or would you say like a bigger version of Cronwall?
Kind of like, he's kind of a hybrid. I'd put him more in the class of a Slava Fetisov.
Okay.
Call back to him. Or, before his injury, Vlad Konstantinov.
Yes.
A guy like that. He could throw the body, but he can move the puck. I'd liken him more to a Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
Who played on Philly and Edmonton and St. Louis. Jesus. Chris, you like all these callbacks to... Pronger. Well, Chris Pronger in my childhood was like... Early in my life, he's who I remember being like the best defenseman.
What team was he with when you were?
I think he was with Philly. It was near the end of his career.
So he was with Philly.
Because he went to the Cup Final.
I'm trying to think how old I would have been.
That was the year he went to the Cup Final and lost to Patrick Kane's overtime winner. Dude, so I would have been 7. turning 7, so 6.
Oh my. God.
Yeah.
So that was probably, what, 15, 16 years ago?
No. 14.
14, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's 2010. What year are we?
Okay, so 14 years ago. Yeah. So I'm just trying to think how That's old crazy. I was. I was like 24.
No, wait, you're only 4 years older than me. I am now. So there you go. That's the wild card race.
Jesus. I'm old.
I'm curious to see... I don't know.
What do you think the deal Showtime's going to get? You think he's going to extend?
Yeah. I think we could give him...
What do you give him, two-year deal?
1 or 2 years at...
3.
Nah. At 3? Would he take that? I'd give him 1 year at 5. Can I? Because you don't want to choke up your prospect pool. Eisenman said he's only going to play those prospects when they're ready for top 6 minutes. I think your best option is... probably.
So that's why I'm saying, why wouldn't you say, listen, if you want,
I'd say 1 year at 5 and you hang on to your prospects in the minors, like Casper Danielson, mind you, they all play center, but you got Carter Mazur ready to come up. You got Lombardi, you've got Berggren.
What if you said to him, you can take 1 at 5 or 2 at 7? Like three point five each.
Oh, okay. Well, I would do that, but I don't know if he says yes to that because his value, he's a point per game.
I understand right that, but you got to understand, but everybody there has to understand that we have these younger guys that are, let's say, cornerstones to our franchise that we have to sign as well.
Patty Kane has never been a beat around the bush guy when it comes to money.
But if there's anybody that can pull it off, I think it can be Steve Yzerman to be like, hey, like
100%. Listen. Steve Yzerman can get a team to buy into a mindset. He's gotten DeBrincat for that exact reason. You think he didn't look at Patrick Kane immediately and go, yeah, we're signing you. Yeah. There was probably no question in his mind for when he hit the market. Coming off a hit surgery? Oh, yeah. We just got the player who you assisted on the most goals with in Blackhawks history.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, also, another big thing in the hockey world, you just got me thinking, Patrick Kane, one of the all-time leading U.S. scorers, another all-time U.S. leading point getter, got recognized by his team this week. One of my favorite players of all time. Legend. You want to talk about cornerstones to franchises. This guy put hockey on the map down south. Mike Modano got a statue made for himself. Well, not for himself.
But made of him.
The team, at American Airlines Center. And it was really beautiful speech. He teared up and just everything that team gave to him and what he gave to the city for hockey. Like, think about that. You're like 21. You get drafted first overall. And all of a sudden, our team's too poor. We got to relocate you however many thousands of miles south. Jeez. And now you're living in a market that doesn't know hockey.
Mm-hmm.
They did a little bit with Houston in the World Hockey League and stuff like that, but they're not into hockey. Football is their thing. Like Dallas Cowboys, 100% for sure, takes it. And now you've got to go into this market and make it exciting. Well, him and guys like, you remember big Darian Hatcher?
Yeah.
And Ed Belfour.
Wasn't Jay Arnott there too?
Yes, he was. Jason Arnott. Did he score
a cup-winning goal?
Brett Hull.
Oh, but I thought, where did Arnott get a cup-winning goal?
New Jersey.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I knew he had one. Okay. I knew he had one.
Yeah. Right. Well, funny enough, you know who he scored it against?
Dallas?
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah.
2000, the 2000 Cup Final, right? Yeah,
I think so.
Because 01 was Colorado?
Am I right? Yeah.
Yes, because 99 was Dallas. The foot in the crease.
Yes.
Brett Hull, that whole thing. Who was their top defenseman back then?
It's Buffalo, I believe.
Yes, Dom Hasek. Trivia, who was their top defenseman back then? This is a name that doesn't get talked about.
Dallas?
Yeah.
Zubov.
Yes. Sergei Zubov. Are you shocked
I knew that?
Yes. No, I'm not. That's your era. Yeah. So, yeah, Sergei, remember him.
Yeah, he was amazing, yeah.
And Ed Belfour and Eddie the Eagle, like. Mm-hmm. And then they had Marty. They always had good goalies. Mm-hmm. Then they got Marty Turco, Kingsville legend.
I got to get that fucking guy on here.
And then they got Kari Laitinen and then Ben Bishop. And now they've got Jake Oettinger, like. They have always had star goalies.
Yeah, not a bad.
Dallas, still my pick for the cup right now.
Not a bad lineup.
Forwards. You don't beat there. They got Tyler Seguin back tonight.
Yeah.
Jason Robertson just scored 2 goals. He's on my fantasy team. That's why my phone's buzzing next to me. So,
Wyatt Johnson, too, has been amazing. Yeah,
Windsor legend.
Yeah.
Wyatt Johnson, our young guys, like, I say our. Dallas is my number two team. I like cheering for them in the playoffs. If the Wings don't make it, I'll actively root for them. I just love the makeup of their team. They're fun colors to watch. Their GM, really great guy, matches a lot of values that I stand for. And their head coach is from Windsor. So there you go. Palmerisa. Help me out here. Peter.
Now you got me fucking.
DeBoer. DeBoer. Okay. There we go.
Me drawn.
And then like, look at all the coaches I got from Windsor. You got Joel Quenneville, Palmerisa, Pete crazy. DeBoer. Like quite the lineup there, but
Tom Webster.
Another good name.
Crazy man.
What else do you want to chat about? We got some other things to talk.
I know. Fire away, bro. You're buzzing right now.
You know what? I like talking. I will say, who we always kind of talk about this, but who's one team you see surprising people in the playoffs? Last year was Florida. Went all the way to the Cup final. Made sure it worked at the least second round. What do you think?
One who I've been hearing a lot of noise about lately is Nashville right now.
Oh, yeah. Their last 15, they're 13-0-2.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So
they got a goalie by the name of Juuse Saros. Yes. They got a defenseman by the name of Roman Josi. They got a forward by the name of Philip Forsberg. Nashville is built to win hockey games in a lot of them.
That's what I mean. Like, I've been hearing a lot about them lately. Colorado, same kind of thing. Colorado, I think Landeskog is skating.
Oh, no. So, first line winger coming back, your captain.
He's skating. I don't know. I think it's not in full equipment yet, I heard, but he is on the ice now.
I would say a team to make some noise.
Vancouver,
I thought they would have last year. They didn't even come close to making
Philadelphia is looking pretty good right
Philly's now. Philly's looking good. I think Torts might win coach of the year just because of getting them in. But
what about Tocchet?
Rick Tocchet? That's true. First year, this team gets top.
Comes in last year, the team
who's
shit.
Who's second in the Metro right now? It's Rangers and who? Canes.
Okay. Rod.
Mark Carolina.
Rod the Bod, too.
Mark Carolina.
Yeah. Especially with the new additions.
Oh, but Freddie Anderson's back in net.
Yeah.
They are deadly. You want to talk about defense? It's boring hockey, but who cares? You win every game 3-1 going to the Cup final.
Yeah, they shut teams down, eh?
They got the best defensive defenseman in the league, in my opinion. Jacob Slavin doesn't get talked about nearly enough. Yeah. And they got Brent Burns.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah, Burnsy. Who else they got on that decor? They got what's his name from Washington? Dmitry Orlov.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got Kuznetsov as a center.
Is Hamilton there now, or was he there?
Dougie's back in New Jersey.
Okay, but he was there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, and Brady Shea.
Yes, that's another one.
And there's another defenseman on their team that I'm drawing a blank on. They had Tony DeAngelo. I don't think he's playing much. What a train wreck his career has been, eh?
Too bad he wouldn't just
shut his face.
And just play. But he's a snap show, too, though.
Yeah, well, like remember when he fought? Georgiev?
Yeah,
and that was like the whole. That's where his career went down the toilet. Mm. Like he tried to fight. What did Georgiev said something like, "Oh, great job selling in overtime" or something like that, and then he just got cold cocked. But yeah, he's gotta shake his head. No wonder Eisenman traded him. Eisenman drafted him and then like traded him like right away.
Really?
In that deal. Well, that was the big deal when they brought in JT Miller and who was the other defenseman? They brought Miller Callahan.
To Vancouver?
No, to Tampa.
Oh.
What are you, Vancouver? Steve Eisenman, come on. Come on, help me.
Hronek? Philip Peronic?
Well, he's been a Red Wing until he went...
And then now he's in Vancouver.
Anthony, I am currently talking about the New York Rangers.
Oh, fuck.
And the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I thought you were talking about... Because we were just talking about Vancouver.
I was talking about the trade.
Oh, okay.
Who was I even talking about in the first place?
See, there you go. Now
you're messing with my head.
Now I threw you off.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Tony DeAngelo.
Yes. Snap show.
Yes. got sent from... Who was the defenseman in that trade?
You're asking
Kevin Shattenkirk. Okay. There we go.
You're
right?
Asking me.
Right? I think.
Yeah, how the fuck did we forget a guy like that?
That definitely wasn't it. Or was it? Whatever.
To the Googler.
We'll figure it out eventually. Yeah, you can Google it if you want. Yeah, I'll go with Carolina. I mean, they're not a sleeper. I can put them in a contender. But Nashville, good pick by you. UC Saros, guy can win you, steal you a game.
That's what I mean. I don't know. I'm not going to say that they're going to win the cup, but they're a team that could possibly go on a run. So.
Yeah, well, like that year they went on a run against Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh kind of made short work of them, but yeah. Who knows? Junior B, we could jump back down and talk about them a bit. What about the LaSalle Vipers and Chatham Maroons? What a series they had.
Oh, I know.
5 out of the 6 games went to overtime, and the other game, another 1-goal game in regulation.
Yeah, that's...
There couldn't be 2 more even clubs.
No, I know. Yeah, that was a wild one. I was watching it online, and like even like the shots on goal were matching up.
It was gutted out, and Chad Shepley and crew got it done.
Yeah.
Vipers moving on. I'm going to presume they lost game one. Well, let me just check.
Yeah, I was going to say, check it out.
I'll check out the score between LaSalle.
So they were playing.
Now they're playing London Nationals, Austin Gouvernement's team.
Oh, okay.
Former 73. And the final score, 7-1.
Wow.
London. LaSalle, notably after the first, was leading 3-1.
Is Gouvy in the lineup? I always look to see how he's doing.
Last I had seen he was hurt, but I will check currently.
I always look to see. I know he had I think he had an ankle injury or something, didn't he? Thought it was something like that.
Potentially.
I'm not saying that's what it is. That's what I heard. Okay,
right.
People?
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
I don't think he was in the lineup. Giving me a... it is. Here we go.
Let's go, baby.
Yes, he was.
Okay, was
he? He's playing. Number 18, Gouvernement.
Did he
no
have
No points.
Anything? Figure it out, Gooby.
Come on, Goof. You know what's funny? You know what the difference was?
Mm-hmm.
London changed their goalie after the first. He gave up 3.
Oh, okay.
On 7 shots. Then they put in this Carter Froggett, let in 1 on 20.
Oh, wow.
So, there's your difference maker.
Yeah, that'll help you out.
Yeah, well, you know, he's starting game 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you go right back to him.
Yeah, obviously. So, I mean, anything else you would like to talk about in the league or a bit of a discussion here? I mean...
We do have some interviews coming up, too,
yes,
guys,
we do.
By the way. We're not going to say names, though, but there is some 73 players.
You don't want to say names? All right, we won't say names. We won't say
do
names.
Should we give them one and then we'll just see what happens kind of after that?
Yeah, sure. Well, we know for a fact our next interview is going to be with Liam Hall.
Yes.
A regular on this show.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason.
Yes, Halsey, I told Halsey, like you have the whole time he's with the threes, I said, you got to give me once a year. So, and he hasn't been on yet this year. Yeah, so Halsey hasn't been on yet this year. Mm-hmm. So I told him, like I said, you have to give me one a year, Halsey.
You know what?
He agreed, so.
Liam Hall, we'll talk about this more on the episode where we interview him,
mm-hmm.
which it's going to be in a few days.
Yeah.
But. He's a really, like, I already liked him a lot, looked up to him, but he is a very special human being.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about someone who wears their heart on their sleeve and gives everybody the time of day and shows a lot of respect to everybody? It's Liam Hall.
Yeah,
and I can vouch for that, and pretty much everyone who meets him can as well.
Yeah, for sure. Halsey is your ideal 73's player that you would want in your franchise on and off
face of the franchise
on and off the ice.
If you're someone who lives in Essex and you're talking about top 3 73's of the past 5 years, obviously COVID split it up in there a bit, but it's Liam Hall.
Yeah, for sure.
No question.
For sure.
If you ask me, and this is aside from the organization, this is my own personal opinion, Liam Hall could have been captain for the past 3 years now.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And he's worn an A all those years.
He's wore the C a few times, too. When
right,
have been
but, like, as Mike Paley said the last time we interviewed him, there's several guys on this team who could wear the C. This year, they went with Piccolo. Great option. I almost said great pick, but great pick by picking pick. Mm-hmm. But Piccolo has been everything and more in a captain. He's very similar to Tyson Chittle, like, you know, that quiet leader style.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Jake Fields, a lot of last year, we didn't really get to see much of him as the captain. He got hurt, came back, got hurt again. This year, once again, he's out with injury. I'm not positive about his return this season. We'll see. It is his last year of his junior career. It would be wonderful if he could get back in the playoffs and get some games in. I believe he is wearing a letter. He has an A slot in the lineup. As of now, it's Liam Cuvion and Bugsy.
Yeah,
I believe are the three. Sometimes Martineau wears it if one of those guys are out.
Yeah.
Like, I think when Liam was out, Marty got the A,
mm-hmm.
which he's been
lights out.
Awesome. Yeah. But that's all I had to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy we got to meet finally in person here. Well,
yeah,
we've
nice.
Met, but for the purpose of an interview, it's good to sit down.
Yeah,
have
it's a
nice chat.
Little setup, too.
You know what? You know what I'm proud of most, Ant? I didn't touch my water this whole interview, so I didn't spill it and fry your whole setup here.
Yeah, the recorder is sitting like maybe
it's
6 inches
right behind
from
it.
His thing, and all I said is don't spill your water.
I'm 3 inches from being a few grand in the hole, so we don't want to be
we don't want to do that.
But we hope you have enjoyed this in-person discussion.
Yeah. You're probably going to see more episodes like this.
Yeah,
so right now, we're just kind of working out the kinks and getting everything crispy rice, spicy tuna, shall we say. So.
And let us know what you think. Do you like the setup? Do you prefer the online? Do you want? What do you want to see? What do you want to see us with a different background? Do you like this setup with the imagery on the screen? Brought to you by
myself, of course.
Either way, it don't matter because we're still going to interview here. Ha!
Yeah, exactly. But the comments are for the algorithm, so throw them in there.
Wink,
get us
wink.
Boost the views.
And by the way, thank you to all of our new followers.
Yeah,
so the past 100%. 30 days, we've had like 200 new followers in the past 30 days. So welcome to the moon, hopefully. And
to the moon.
Yeah, just everybody, just welcome into the show, to the Hatrick Hockey family. You're gonna hear some stuff, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well...
buckle up.
One of these days we'll have Matt Barnaby on again.
Yeah. Check out that episode.
I'll wear some of your plugs. Yeah. But
thank
you, everyone. Enjoy the evening and God bless.
Until next week, we'll see you.
We'll see you around. Shelter.